Hello?
Hello, hello.
Good evening, everybody. This is Guru Rugu, and you're listening to Guru Rugu's Experimental Meditation Hour on Kaechung Radio, broadcasting out of the Chinatown province of Los Angeles. And we have a very incredible, wonderful guest here for you tonight.
Aw, shucks.
Miss Chrysanthio.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for letting me do a fallopian utopian takeover of the Experimental Meditation Hour.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very excited. We need some uplifting utopian fallopianness tonight, because I don't know if you heard Guru Guru's last show, but I was very down about the end days of Kaechung. I predicted that Kaechung would end, I think June 15th, 2014. I can't remember the exact
countdown going.
Oh no, I haven't been counting down. I kind of forgot. But anyway,
that's good for your own sanity. Actually.
Yeah, I'd rather the end be a surprise than spend the next few months just waiting for it to.
So we should plan our big party on that date, so we can all go out together in style.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the thing that I realized is that after the show is that, you know, it might be the end of Kaechung, but it might be the beginning of something really new and beautiful, and so something utopic.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So we just have to start dreaming now and then see when we all die if our dreams will become exactly what's realized.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for coming on the show. I was wondering, maybe you could tell us a little bit about who are you, Chrysanthio?
Well, I was wondering the same thing about you, Guru Rugu, in the car over here when you so graciously gave me a ride. I was trying to ask very neutral questions and gauge who was Guru Rugu? Was the person I had emailed, formerly known as Adam, actually Guru Rugu, or was it another person that also existed? And I was just like trying to couch all my language and like, so who is this person that may be you, but also maybe another person? And I'm glad that I've ascertained that I'm looking at the one, the only. But enough about you, let's talk about me.
Yeah, see, that's why I brought you on.
Let's get it pajamming tonight. I have been in LA for about a year and a half. I'm jokestress, a lolitician, a wordsmith, if you will.
A lolitician?
Yes. I feel that as a jokestress, I weave my words into thoughts and ideas that will creep into people's heads. But as a lolitician, that's like the marketing aspect. That's me tweeting about my shows and getting people to come out and try and, you know, emailing bookers, and that's the part that doesn't come as naturally to me. I'm like, haven't you discovered me already?
And so are you like a famous comedian? Are you doing shows all over the place all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your version of fame. I mean, I in the Kaechung community, can I say that I'm well known? Yes. I mean, it's not like I don't send out an email to everyone on the regular as the Kaechung secretary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely in that the journey. I got from a fortune cookie one time. It's not the journey. It's not the destination. It's the journey. Mm-hmm. There we go. I also got a fortune cookie
Where'd you get that one, by the way?
I think it was Full House.
Okay.
Yeah. We can go there after and just order fortune cookies and see what it says. I actually got one at the Mongolian restaurant in my hometown that said, "Perhaps you think about yourself too much." And I was like, "Whoa, I must have picked the wrong one. This is not about me. This is a mistake." Yeah. And it took me a couple days to realize that if I have a strong enough reaction against that, that probably means it's true.
Yeah.
I find it's, don't you find that there are so many wise cones everywhere you go? Like even looking up at advertising. I mean, Pepsi is telling you to live for now. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, getting Taco Bell and just feeling so down about myself. And then I saw on the sauce packet said, if you never do, you'll never know. And my mind was blown.
Right.
It told me right then that I needed to take charge of my life and take it to the fullest. So isn't it a wonderful world that we live in? Is there even anything that needs to be changed?
Do you feel, you know, there's that thing with like pop songs where, you know, like when you've just like broken up, you know, you feel like every pop song was written for you. Do you feel like there are people out there who, like, what do you think has happened to that? Like that person who's walking down the street and sees like the Nike ad and is like, oh my God, they're talking to me.
Oh my God, I just have to do it.
What happened to them that day?
Well, it makes me think of Jennifer Moon is our fabulous communications and mm-hmm. scheduling wizard. And on her show, she always does the song that we sing together. And she will just wail Katy Perry's Firework. And what usually starts with my appreciation of pop music is I start off hating it, loathing it, just despising how simple it is. And then it starts to creep inside my body, and all of a sudden I find myself belting it in the shower. Baby, you're a firework! And it inspires me. And then I go, it's like going from hate to love and back to the middle again. So I think it's just this journey that we have. But I also feel like the pop songs we have are like the equivalent of chips. Like it's like they put MSG in it so that it just sticks in your head and it tastes good and it feels good. But
yeah, I'm hankering for a good Billboard right now, actually.
Yeah, I have the cravings, definitely. And but I also make money. I don't make money from comedy as I'm a true artist just trying that sort of thing. And so I've had a couple odd jobs. Right now I do data entry for this food website, and I write descriptions like, are you craving pizza but also craving Indian food? Well, now you can have the best of both worlds at Apu's Pizza Palace. Come on down. Which is actually a thing in Canada, is a lot of pizza and Indian restaurants being in the same. So.
Oh, wow. Like on the where they serve it on the
Yeah, like butter chicken pizza, chicken curry pizza, whoa, all together. So, and that job does make me want to travel the world just to eat at the 2-star Yelp restaurants that I have to write for.
Oh, so they're not in Los Angeles. They're
no,
up in Canada.
No, they're everywhere but Los Angeles, actually.
Oh my gosh.
And before that, I worked for an astrologer. His name was Chakrapani Lal, and he charged $2.50
an hour. Lal,
like LOL? No.
Is that where you learned how to
Chakrapani Lal?
Lolititioning.
Yeah. And he charged $2.50 an hour for natal readings.
Natal readings.
So I can tell you all about the natal reading. It is an hour reading in which he will go into your strengths, weaknesses, habits, and tendencies and give you a brief prediction of what's to come. But if you really want to get a prediction, you have to do our 1-year prediction reading, which is $2.25. And that goes month by month into the cycles and how your year will progress. And of course, we have business consultations and we have family consultations and of course, compatibility readings, mm-hmm. all at very special prices. And I worked for him. I didn't believe in astrology at the time, though I started to get more and more interested as I was not even as much as a part of him, more as like, yeah, it was like the research that I started doing because of that. I actually got a reading with him, and he's like, because of Leo in the 10th house, you are meant to be on the public stage. And I was like, okay, you know that about me, all right. And he said, oh, because of the influence of Rahu in this major cycle, you had a very difficult period in 2010. And I was like, oh, I thought I was just making poor decisions because of my own id, but yay, Rahu, that's cool. I clung to that. But then the clincher was when he said, because of Taurus in the seventh house, you have a natural ability to dance. And I was
to dance,
to live for the dance. To dance and rock the dance floor.
I was thinking dots. Like,
yeah. You have a natural ability to cover the world with dots, and that is your purpose on this earth.
That's incredible.
But yeah, I got crazy hand moves. Like I knew that like these hand moves were divinely inspired.
Right now, I'm just having to describe for the audience that there's lots of really incredible hand moves, like being mesmerized. It's making me a little dizzy, but it's an incredible
right kind
of dizziness.
The description is epileptic.
Yeah.
But it was, there was uncanny. At one point he said, oh, so you were dating somebody and it was a serious relationship at this time. I said, oh, yeah. He's like, why you didn't marry him? You should have married him.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I mean, this we had, and it's true, we did have a really good relationship. He was a kind of a bro, but he was a feminist bro. You know, he's a bra, he supports women. And we only got into two arguments the whole time. One of them was...
Wait, this is you and the person you were supposed to marry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a very, very
this
easy
This astrologer
relationship.
Sounds like my grandmother.
Yeah. Does your grandmother charge $2.50 an hour for readings?
Kind of. Yeah.
Only for you. and it would be very silly fights. Like I would bother him while he's watching basketball and try to narrate and be like, oh, look, he's trying to get in the hole. He's trying to get in the hole. He's like, that's not what it's about. It's not just about getting things into holes. And I was like, are you sure? And then that kind of led us into like a whole argument about basketball in general. And then another time was actually about a pop song that I absolutely adore, which is Lady Gaga's Telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, I think Lady Gaga is being so rude by not calling this guy back. All she has to do is text him and tell him that she's at the club. It's not really a big deal. And I was like, she is on the dance floor with Beyonce. She doesn't have time for that, okay? She's feeling the music. She has been overtaken by Dionysus. That is a ridiculous request. I can't believe you'd even say that. And it ended up being a metaphor for our relationship after all, but.
Wow, you should have married that guy.
I know.
Wait, so what did you...
He'd always be texting me while I'm dancing as I was divinely inspired.
Oh, he would know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so what did you think when this astrologer guy said that? Was that the moment that you realized he was right about everything or that he was wrong about everything?
I think that astrology, and something I learned from him is that it's an interpretive science.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think that he had a lot of truth to it, but the way he communicated it was still very much from like this old style of like, well, either you marry him or you don't marry him. And as opposed to being like, that was a good relationship, moving on. And I also think, yeah, he had an interesting way of putting things that like would kind of put you off. But it's funny because people would call back after 20 years saying, Chakrabani said I was going to be a teacher. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be a teacher. And here I am. I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get another reading. Their business is struggling. It was actually a very bizarre experience because his business partner was... from production. She was a hoarder. Astrology office was in her house. It was in the back and it was this beautiful Zen garden and her house was just complete hoarding, like everything in boxes for 6 years or so. And she was trying to micromanage her son's life and get him into a good college. So she would, hire people to do his beekeeping documentary for the Eagle Scouts. And she'd hire like a 10-person film crew. And it was just very, very bizarre to see like this person with so much wisdom living with somebody whose judgment was so clouded that I couldn't really respect them completely or like give him all the credit that he maybe even deserved. I don't know.
That sounds amazing, though. Like, if you're like a little kid and people want to, and your mom wants to produce your beekeeping.
I mean, it would just be bizarre because I'd come into the office and she'd be like, close everything. You need to drive to the marina right now. Mia, her son's name was Mia, forgot the board games. And he said he was going to bring the board games. And we need the board games for the sailing trip. So you get on Olympic right now. You get here in half an hour. And I was like, what? You don't want me to work in the office and do the work I was supposed to do? She also had me write a rap for her son so he could present it to his class based off of Macklemore's thrift shop. I love peer support and I want to be a coordinator. I am a Mia, want to be a leader because you all are awesome. So that was fun. But once again, close down the office, not, you know, failing to get clients for it just so that her son could maybe get a couple more friends. So it's a team effort. Did you know that?
By the way, I just want to reach out and apologize to Mia right now for the fact that that all of his friends are probably tuned in and listening and realizing that that amazing rap was not his.
Yeah.
So hopefully he told them that he had a little bit of help and that. But either way, I apologize.
I apologize for writing you out, Mia. You know, it definitely seemed like your skills, but it was all me, and I gotta take credit, and I'm gonna keep going with that kind of rhyming, so I'll just have to fit Amia with Chrysanthi, and then I think it's good.
Yeah, see, I think ghostwriters, see, that's why I have a lot of ghostwriters who are involved with this show, and I feel like I need to pay them well so that they don't get angry and take it out on me on another person's show. And you know,
throw them a five.
Yeah, it's better just to keep them comfortable.
Well, you should actually get ghosts for ghostwriters, and then you don't have to pay them because they don't really have a concept of money. They'd be like, "What is money? What are you even doing with that?" They really look down on you and judge you.
It's harder to satisfy the ghosts, so
that's true. They won't like listen to your demands at all, but they'll keep giving you stuff. But you also might not be able to read it.
Yeah, and you can't slam the door in their face when they come looking for whatever they're looking for.
No, they'll come right in, and they'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But free labor.
Yeah.
Haunt you for the rest of your life, free labor.
Yeah. And some of them are cute, some of the ghosts, so fun to keep around.
Yeah. Good to have a whole crew of ghosts, a clique. Yeah, do you feel like you've been in a lot of haunted places in L.A.?
Well, sometimes I wonder if Kaechung is haunted. I have a sense that Kaechung is haunted.
Oh.
Every once in a while, for instance, I feel like one of the turntables will turn on without me touching it. And I feel like, I don't know, have there been any DJs here that have passed on into the other life who may be haunting here? Or do you think...
Well, maybe they're trying to tell you their story.
Mm-hmm.
But we're too human to listen to it. I wonder, I want to know the history of this building and what people came before it in terms of like founding Chinatown, making their mark. I mean, have you read the signs all along the boulevard that talk about how racist the structure was all through the 19th century, only allowing like men to come in and no women? So it's probably also angry men from China just looking for a mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I just want to make it clear to all the listeners, you can't see it, but tonight I, Guru Rugu, am challenging the patriarchy of my own show by I have offered my seat that I usually sit naked in to Chrysanthi, and she's sitting
And I'm sitting bottomless, so I'm keeping the theme, which is important. And you've really created a fallopian utopia.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. I think of it kind of like a Zen garden. You know,
I always thought a good name for a Zen center would be a Zenter.
A Zenter.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Better trademark Chrysanthi.
Yeah,
oh, don't
but
take
you can't
it.
You steal it. That's going to be $500. You know what's an important thing to have in a fallopian utopia? Beyonce song. It's actually the key thing.
Like all the time, or just when you need it.
Just when you need it. Mm-hmm. Just when you need to pick it up.
Okay, I can be down with that. I can see a bright future like that.
Yeah, this is a little known ditty that was off her first album, All About Astrology, and it's my favorite thing to sing.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
Yeah, enjoy.
Every sign has its own mode. I was in love with the Sagittarius. See the emotions he put me through. From Capricorn to Aquarius. They all got their different minds. The affection of a Virgo. Which sign matches good with mine? I was in love with a Sagittarius. He blew my mind. He also had a flip side. Too much like a Gemini. He was freaking like a Taurus. The way he handled me, yeah. Flirtatious like an Aries. Which sign is best for me? Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, a Virgo, the same sign as me. You know how to show me love, cause I've been hurt by Pisces. I want him sexy like a Scorpio, the way he holds me close, yeah. Sensitive as a Cancer, every sign from coast to coast.
Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer.
Great. I had never heard that before.
That's That's like my favorite Beyonce song. Yeah. What's your sign, Gururugu?
Pisces. Fishy.
I remember like getting into astrology and not believing it because I'm a Virgo and that's supposed to be the opposite of Pisces. And I was like, I feel like I'm a Pisces based on this description. I do not feel organized. I do not feel disciplined. And then that's the thing is as you dive deeper into it and you realize that you have 12 houses that represent 12 parts of yourself, that my Pisces is actually in the fourth house, the house of creativity. Mm-hmm. So that's like where a lot of my fantasizing and my dreaming comes from. And then also, it depends. Oh, I could go so into this because in Western astrology, I am a Virgo sun and a Libra moon. But in Vedic astrology, and the difference between the two, the zodiac, is that there's basically like Western astrology acts as though Aries stays static in the sky since the beginning of when astrology began. But Vedic astrology takes into account that it's a 60-degree difference from that. So Western astrology is somewhat right, but not quite right, as Chakrapani would say. But in Vedic astrology, I'm a Virgo sun, Libra moon, and they have a very big emphasis on your moon sign. So Virgo is what you exhibit to the world, but then your moon sign is how you react to things instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I like to describe Libra is I was walking down the street, and this guy was in front of me and just dropped his magazine. And I grabbed it and I went to him and I was like, did you mean to drop this surreptitiously? And he's like, no, thank you. But instead of just being like, hey, you dropped this, I was like, are you sure that you wanted to drop this way? No pressure. If you wanted to drop it, that's cool. It was very cool the way you did it, but I don't want to impose upon you or assert myself in any way because you do your thing.
Think he was trying to litter?
I just thought that he was like, just walking and letting it go and looking cool. I just didn't want to impose my own point of view. I wanted to accommodate him. And it for such a kind favor, it really weirded him out. Like, did you mean to do that? No. What? Can I have that back? Thank you.
Oh, so he kept it.
Yeah. He did not mean to litter. He was like, thank you. And took it back.
Yeah, I always feel like in my neighborhood when I see people throw trash out their window that they're I'd like to think that instead of just polluting the planet, that they're letting go of something really important. That's not just like a, you know, Jack in the Box, you know, fries thing. That it's something bigger than that.
And they've had a ritual about it. They've spent the hour meditating and thinking about what it meant to them and being like, I will let it go in this chariot and riding and let the wind take it wherever it needs to be. And I will become a better person and be reborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's usually two people in the car and one person's driving really fast. You know, the person is sitting with their seatbelt off and the other one just waiting for that moment when they know to let go.
And then they let it all go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. There's beauty in every piece of litter.
Yeah. Like snowflakes.
Do you meditate?
On the show, yeah. Well, I mean, it's really confusing to me what meditate, like this.
Yeah.
My practice in this show kind of has really confused the notion of what meditation is to me and really challenged me. And hopefully our listeners as to what meditation can be. So it's very expansive.
Do you think there's a basic definition of meditation? In that it's the interior concentration or just listening to breath?
I feel like when I meet people who have a specific definition that usually they need to do another kind of meditation that allows them to let go of that initial kind of thing.
It's just letting go.
Yeah, so there's a lot of letting go. But then but we also like holding on to things, mm-hmm. too.
So it's a balance of letting go and holding on.
Yeah.
But well, it's also the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also just saying, well, like you talked about koans earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I'm really interested in kind of the way that language can kind of short circuit the way that you think about something that you've always, the way that you've always thought about it.
Yeah.
You can kind of flip things inside out just by the way that you describe something or describe yourself.
Yeah. I think, well, do you think the words create the world that we live in? I always like...
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I always think about that. With even like simple things like, oh, did you lose your virginity? And I'm like, what? I mean, I wasn't like, oh, I lost my keys and my wallet. And where did I leave my virginity? Damn it, did I leave it at?
You realize that as you get older, it's going to become more of like the actual loss. Like, who, what? I can't remember anymore. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Then when people mention that, it's usually it. Older folks.
And, we use a lot of like sexual insults, like go fuck yourself. And I just think that's actually kind of beautiful because it's like you're in a heated argument and someone says, go fuck yourself. And you're like, you're telling me to go fuck myself? You're telling me to go fuck myself? Well, considering I have a lot of tension right now, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Thank you for the suggestion, actually. Do you have any porn to recommend? Because I really need to just like get rid of all this stress. Even just the word masturbate is like very strange to me. It's like such a like metaphor for something like that's so basic, and it's like such a Latin. It means to disturb one's maleness, and for me it would
disturb one's maleness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. And to me, I'd just say like, oh, I'm handling it right now, you know, or a little touching up. Nothing mm-hmm. too, not a big deal. I heard a bro at one of my open mics call it diddling. Which like
diddling.
I'm just diddling around.
Aww. I used to play drums, so we played a lot of diddles. So mm-hmm. that makes me imagine someone playing using their drumstick on their drumstick.
Yeah. It's also fun to use your body as a drum, not sexually. I've had some going back to meditation, I've had some very strange experiences where I've been in guided meditations, like find your spirit animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I like journeyed into the depths of my mind. I'm in the water. I find an underwater cave. I'm like so excited. I see this tiger coming towards me. I'm like, oh my God, what am I gonna learn? And then the tiger starts having sex with me and starts ripping me into pieces.
Oh wow.
And I was like, oh, this is significant, but also like maybe I'm just ovulating. There's really no way of knowing.
Have you? You're actually describing Johnny Jungle Guts panther meditation.
Oh, really?
Have you listened to that?
No,
it's the flip side. Johnny Jungle Guts and I have a split K-Chunk cassette, and on his side it says panther meditation, or maybe it's a cougar meditation, and you get ripped to pieces.
Wait.
by a cougar or panther, and then you grow back. It licks you back to full wholeness.
Wow, maybe that was the prediction that I would eventually end up in K-Chung and in Johnny Jungle Guts' arm someday.
Yeah, that was the sign.
Wow. See, it all makes sense.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just funny like starting out with the meditation and like breathing in and breathing out. And then being like, wow, that was a good breath. I was really paying attention to that. And then being like, stop, brain, why do you have to qualify it?
Yeah, likes to comment. But mm-hmm. I, you know, some of my biggest breakthroughs have been from trying to not control that monkey mind.
Yeah.
And allowing that quote-unquote monkey mind to monkey it up even more and just do what it wants to.
Doesn't it go into circles then and like throw shit at other people and eat bananas?
No, it's kind of like a second grader. Like if you stop trying to make a second grader do what you want, like they usually chill out and start talking to you like an adult.
Ah,
or at least I found.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Why? But that was only a couple instances where I've talked to second graders. There might be some other instances I'm missing.
Wow. I guess I always feel like my monkey mind is my default. So then this is like a way to try to like hold it back. But if meditation's about letting it go, it's like, this is my true self. And it wants to go in spirals about all of the stress I have, or like go into Hollywood fantasies or what have you.
Yeah, I would recommend definitely allowing the Hollywood fantasies to happen.
Because
mine are really great.
Mm-hmm.
When I just let them go.
And then there's no need to leave the house if you mm-hmm. have those fantasies. Yeah. And then I go to Hollywood and try to realize them and realize that Hollywood is just a myth and has never really existed. And then I just go to the Forever 21 right on Highland and buy something made by people in sweatshops.
Wait, what's Forever 21?
Well, I actually was just had some couch surfers stay with me, and they were like, oh, Hollywood. And we actually met up there to meet before they stayed with me. And I was like, yeah, I mean, there's this Chinese theater, and then it's become kind of like Times Square now. There's a Forever 21 and H&M and American Apparel. But it's just like the Hollywood that exists in movies or even in like on E! Entertainment Network just like doesn't exist. It's just like, it's like the simulacrum. It's just like a imagined place that there is actually no reality. I like that.
I love green screens, by the way.
Yeah, I could see
love
you.
Love green screens.
Looking good against a green screen.
Yeah.
Because you would look good anyway.
Oh, thank you. The green brings out my beard. Especially when it turns into interstellar background of some kind.
I could see you with like a button and then flipping through all of the different screens and then ascending into the heavens. That was my Hollywood fantasy just now.
I feel like I've seen a bunch of like new agey documentaries that usually are shot in front of green screens, and they all have like kind of the same background. It's like usually like a mixture of the galaxy and ripples and yeah. And I just wonder, like, for you, like, imagine Fallopian Utopia and it being on Kaechung TV, which might happen this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shot in front of a green screen. Like, what would the most utopian green screen be for Fallopian Utopias?
I don't know. All throughout the cycle, it's different things. First thing that came to mind was a volcano erupting.
You might get sued by some Scientologists, though, if you do that.
They don't approve of volcanoes?
Well, all of the Dianetics commercials from the 80s were that, like, it was like 80% of the commercial was a volcano erupting.
Wow.
I think the book like exploded out of the volcano. So it's very, yeah, you have to be careful.
And then the next would be like a fertile oasis or just like water and just like moisture and just like wetness, which is something that I really miss in LA, especially as I got sunburned today and mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the rain to come and always doing a rain dance and it never comes. And yeah, you know, because I went to Burning Man this year and I really liked it, but I kept thinking, where's Wet Woman?
Where's what? Wet Woman?
Wet Woman.
Is that like a superhero or something?
That would be the wife of Burning Man, I feel.
What's the head of the, what's his name?
Just the man, but he burns. He's just, he's like the fire man and we need the water woman.
Right.
To really balance it out. Yeah, I just see like a fertile nature away, not stars, you know, and like, I mean, sure, I'll go to the moon. That sounds cool. I'll go to Venus. That mm-hmm. makes sense too. But I'm thinking deep and burrowed into the earth and caking myself with lava of some sort. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can bring that into the hammer. No problem.
Yeah, I think they've seen worse disasters occur there. I think they're ready for a volcano.
Yeah. I think we're ready for the next big seismic activity. What'd you say?
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to think about it. I like to just forget that disaster is imminent.
Yeah. See, when I'm on a roller coaster, I'll strap on. And I can't ride with certain friends because I'll freak them out. Because what I'll do is I'll freak myself out that the contraption's not going to work, and that's how I get like my high from that. And I'm just like no, and then I go crazy and it works out and I'm lucky and it's fine. But yeah, with earthquakes and stuff, I'm just like, oh, let me think how that's gonna happen, let me think about it, it's gonna be crazy. Mm-hmm. No, but I do have some money stashed away. Actually, no, I spent it on weed, but I'm gonna get more money and it's gonna be stashed away, and I'll be ready.
You need to make sure you have all of your...
I have water.
Your water and things.
I
and
just have
flashlights and,
yeah.
and medications.
Flashlights
necessary
and
medications.
Flashlights and medications. And yeah.
Do you think that's what we'll use for money when the big one hits?
Flashlights?
Oh, no. Marijuana?
It's so... Yeah. It seems just as good as anything else. Mm-hmm. All of the substances that we have to trade. It seems just as viable of a thing as any of that. And then you can grow it yourself. That would be nice too. Mm-hmm. Wow, I should. So I'm being smart and stocking up. I didn't realize that I'm just preparing for the new society.
Yeah.
That this post-apocalyptic dystopia that we've been living in for all of Western civilization is finally going to die out on June 15th. Did you say?
I think so. Yeah, I have to go back and listen to my episode.
The demise of Kaechung is the demise of the world, as we all know.
Of course, at least our world.
So I'm very I'll be ready for that. I'll have a lot of weed stored up unless I smoke it all, but then I'll just get more. So.
Fallopian's full of.
Well, you know, the fallopian tubes bring the egg from the ovaries to the uterus, and we're bringing our ideas from the ovaries straight to utopia.
Yeah, right. That's in people's ears, especially tonight.
We're invading your eardrums.
Oh man,
that was my call. You didn't realize the subliminal messages in there, which was
I caught a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a good ear.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that message was there some more music?
Yeah, I have a couple different songs. Well, do you want something more meditative, psychedelic, or something more pop and more popular, like one of the greatest hits on the radio right now?
I don't know. I believe that whatever you play right now is exactly what I need.
Okay. Then we were talking about letting go, and there's just sometimes when a song, and this is actually being sponsored. It was like paid for by Pepsi, and this is a Neo song, but I think that it'll help everybody out there just let it go. So enjoy Let It Go.
Let's go, make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now, I'm talking here and now. Let's go, your time is running out. I'm talking here and now, I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done, it's about what you're doing. It's all about where you're going, no matter where you've been. Let's go. Go.
Don't you just want to get chased to that song and run as fast as you can?
Yeah, it makes me actually, I guess I feel like they play that a lot at H&M, and usually it involves me letting go of my credit card at the counter.
Bringing up some connotations of capitalism. Yeah. That makes sense. There's something about music. Like I lived in Athens for a while and studied.
Athens, Georgia?
Athens, not quite as cool as that. Athens, Greece, actually.
Yeah.
And I was researching about the god of Dionysus. And it's really interesting because it kind of, Apollo and Dionysus are opposites. Apollo is the god of music and Dionysus is the god of dance. So music is actually based on these like very strict mathematical, just like mathematics. And so he was very much on the straight and narrow and his movement is very specific and straight. And then Dionysus is all just losing yourself to the dance.
Like what you were just doing.
Yeah.
During that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I'm actually one very much an unabashed supporter of dubstep music, which frequently gets made fun of. But it's just like the rawest beat. And I feel like it just creeps inside of you and just moves you. And I just completely lose myself to that. Even like I can't explain to you the joy of hearing John Lennon's "Imagine All the People Living All in," and just like losing yourself with a bunch of people to that tune. Do you like to dance?
Sometimes. I'm not sure to dubstep, but maybe. Maybe I just haven't had the right.
What do you like to dance to? Like funky soul grooves?
I don't know. I've been, sometimes I just like to sing to the cat and to the dog and dance with them.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of.
So it's the music that you make in your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually I sing in what I think their voice would be if they had a human voice. So it's kind of high pitched and. Or goofy, or don't, you know, like that's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna do it. I don't want to bring people into my secret rituals. I don't want to give it. People have to pay for that.
So,
but
can you judge from their aura whether they approve of you making a mockery of their
what?
Being?
What my little saints? They love it. They purr really, really hard when I do it.
They appreciate that you're communing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They think I'm saying I'm about to give you lots of food. a lot of food. And actually, that's pretty similar to what I usually say sometimes. It's like a little meditation for them.
Well, it's like food for the soul.
Yeah.
Food for the dog and cat soul.
Yeah.
What is a soul?
Yeah, do you think cats... Well, what do you think? Of course cats and dogs have souls. I was about to ask a stupid question. But... Yeah, I don't know how to ask this question. Do you channel any kind of animal energy for your show, Fallopian Utopias?
Good question. I think that I kind of go all over the place, and I definitely have a monkey feeling of...
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my spirit animal is a camel toe, so I think that figures into it. But I guess, like, you know, it would be if I had to answer that, I'd have to put like, it's the ferociousness of a tiger with the grace of a flamingo with the, which none of those are even true, but they're still animal. There's like all these qualities of different animals that I long to embody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my meditation, I could work on that every day, randomly picking an animal, being like, I will try to embody that. I will be as professional as a hummingbird today. And then moving on to like, I will be a sloth. And
yeah.
Just like feeling all of it.
Well, you know what? I'm always kind of amazed by it. People don't talk very much about the with the Chinese New Year. It's like the year of the whatever. It's usually one animal, and whenever you go Chinese food, they have the little placemat, and so every year has a different animal, and I guess it repeats maybe every 7 years, something like that.
Yeah,
but
every
it's
12
so
years. Yeah.
Simple compared to like the horoscope stuff, and I like it so much, but nobody ever talks about how, like, oh, I'm a sheep. Like, they ever, I have a lot of trouble, like, keeping the horoscope stuff in my head because it's just so much information. This one's so simple.
Yeah. I mean, what's your Chinese zodiac?
I forget.
Because I was going to say, like, I'm a horse, so I'll, like, tell people that. And this is my year. Like, if you were a rat, that has such a negative connotation in our society. You would never own up to a rat.
Maybe that is why I forgot. I've been
repressing it. Yeah. But so I was like, this is my year, like typical American style. Yeah, this is my year. I'm going to make it. Watch out. And then I was speaking to somebody at this bakery in Echo Park about the Chinese New Year, and he said, oh, if you're a horse, that means you need to watch out. You need to watch out for arrogance. You have horse year and you have horse energy. You better watch your back. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, because you might just go away overboard this year.
Yeah, yeah. And so I actually, it's...
You might believe that song and just let everything go.
Yeah, and just run naked through the streets and... run into 5 cops and try to explain that and just say, it's my year, it's my year. And I was speaking to someone else and they were saying that the last 2 years have been very watery. It was like a watery snake and something else before that. Very emotional, but dealing with a lot of emotional issues. And then this is the year of catapulting on that kind of journey into your mind and being able to make something of it, because the horse is the emblem of industry and productivity, and so that sounds good to me. That sounds good. You know, we still got some time.
That sounds like we have some loud visitors outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless, or maybe those are ghosts.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like with your show you're like channeling another energy?
Well, I do call myself by a lot of different names that are all a lot of different alter egos. On the show, I'm DJ. Sometimes I'm DJ Vulvasaur. Sometimes I'm DJ Clitterodactyl or Velociraptor. And sometimes I feel like I'm Rainbow. And sometimes I feel like I'm Nymphadora Tonks. So.
Oh wow! So you actually call yourself by different names sometimes? Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah, quite bizarre.
And dinosaurs, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and some.
Some all female sexually charged dinosaurs, which are the best kinds. But yeah, I'd like to think that the feminine energy of Kali comes into me and motivates me. I heard a great thing from a friend's mother that, you know, it's not her doing any good because she was this nurse and worked for people in a hospice, but she's just the garden hose. She's just the vessel, the conduit for it to come out. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you get nervous. I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm going to be on stage. And I'm like, no, I'm a conduit for whatever words are going to come out. And I don't have to worry because the way that I say them is the way that I was meant to say them. And that kind of automatic feeling of flow, I still haven't figured out who's possessing me, but maybe it doesn't want me to know right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's the Kaechung ghost, though. Maybe it's just a Chinese man from the 1890s who's upset with the fact that there are no women and is speaking on the rights of women everywhere. I think I'm on to something.
Might also be, I think this part of Chinatown used to be the Italian part of town.
Oh.
Because I think the other Chinatown actually used to be somewhere else. I could be, because you know, there's you don't know, folks out there don't know where we actually are, but there's a Catholic church there's several Catholic churches very close by. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wonder if there could also be like a, you know, an Italian mother or grandmother hanging out in your show too.
Yeah, like
cooking some meatballs.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I'd like her to be materialized anytime through my cooking skills. Maria, come here.
Well, it looks like we need to wrap up in a sec, but Chrysanthi, it's been really fantastic having you on the show. And hopefully you can come back another time. This was great. I feel like we have a lot of unfinished business.
Yeah, I think so too. And thank you for planning 3 months in advance and locking me down. That's really the key to getting me anywhere. So
yeah. Now, besides your show, so when is your show on Kaechung?
Fallopian Utopia is every Wednesday at 3.
Every Wednesday at 3. Mm-hmm. And then do you have any upcoming public engagements that people should know about?
The next planned engagement is May 24th. We're doing a benefit for Homeboy Industries that I'll be emceeing, and we'll be having Fantastic. Music and comedy. And it'll be at the Gal Palace, which is also where I currently live. And we have a stage in the living room. So come on down to the Gal Palace, a.k.a. the Womansion, a.k.a. the Maxi Pad, and you can have yourself a ball. Or evolve.
Evolve, really. Yeah. That sounds fantastic.
How about I take us out with some Aretha Franklin?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much, Chrysanthi.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. Have a great evening.
Have a great evening. Listen to the ghosts.